2 Corinthians chapter 9 in your Bible today, and I'm going to preach on the subject, our next step, which you see on the screen. As soon as the special is over, we will turn off the platform lights. You'll be able to see it a little bit better. The contrast will help. And we're going to use a few slides this morning for a specific reason toward the end, more than at the beginning, but since I wanted to do it, we decided to just put this little presentation together for you in conjunction with this morning's message. Now, we're not a contemporary church. We don't want anything that smells of being contemporary, but we don't replace preaching with PowerPoint presentations. Amen. So I'll give you a little lesson this morning, preach a little bit, just to use some added visual aids. Let's stand together, please. We're reading verses 6, 7, and 8. Verses 6, 7, and 8. Please join me on verse 7. We're in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6, 7, and 8. Verse 6 says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man, according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let's pray together, and then we'll enjoy the special. Dear Father, I pray that you'll speak to our hearts today. Use the equipment that you have blessed man to know how to operate, to have, and know how to create. Bless the equipment to be an added help in the message this morning. But most of all, may the power of your words come forth once again and do something in our hearts. And we'll thank you for it. Bless the song and the message to follow. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, BC.
Ring the bells, ring the bells, let the whole world know. Christ was born in Bethlehem many years ago. Born to die that man might live, came to earth new life to give. Born a Mary, born so low, many years ago. God the Father gave His Son, gave His own beloved one to this wicked sinful earth to bring mankind His love to birth. Ring the bells, ring the bells.
About which to sing than the Christ coming, God giving His Son, when we are considering something for our church as far as a building goes. Brother Greg, we'll keep these three on and these on the side off, please, and the sconces in the back. Hopefully you'll be able to see that. That's much better, much clearer, right? Very good. You can see that okay? Everybody over here from the back, can you see it okay, Brother Harold? Can you see back there okay? Very good. And over here, everybody can see from over here. All right, super. I want to speak to you for a little bit this morning on the subject of our next step. And in case you don't know, I don't know anybody that's been coming for any amount of time should know that we're going to hopefully go across the parking lot over here and remodel that existing building, which is about 6,000 square feet, into two stories, and then add an additional 8,000 square feet. It's going to be about a little over 21,000 square feet of total project. It also gives us, the project includes, Brother Dennis, if you can remember, is it 35 additional parking spots? Do you remember back there? 35, 40, somewhere that number. We'll have an additional 35 to 50 parking spaces, which is necessary right now because sometimes this lot is full. Some of us park across the street. So it's a steep price tag. It's $1.7 to $1.8 million. Probably that's where we're going to be. I don't know that we'll get it down any lower than that. We're working on it. Some things might happen that might pull it down. But when you consider over 21,000 square feet of space, and then an additional 35 to 40 parking places in our parking lot, that's not a bad price for that amount of space and parking. Okay, now it's steep, but it's not, today that's less than $100 a square foot. You understand that? Okay, so the Lord's, I think, put us in touch with a good company, and through some referrals, they are Christian people and saved people, and they're anxious, I think, to be a blessing and a help to us, and we're glad to take that. Amen, all right? So we'll introduce them to you next Sunday. Dale Reiser, I believe, and some of the other men will be our guest on Sunday morning. Okay, I'm going to speak to you for a little bit on our next step. Let's pray together, and then we'll get started. Dear Father, thank you for the opportunity to bring your word this morning to this group of people. I pray that you'll give us an open heart. Lord Jesus, may your spirit work in power through your word. That's my prayer this morning. Dear God, bless now your word as it goes forth. I trust your word. I have complete confidence in your word. I have complete confidence in your spirit and in his power and ability. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless our church. May we do your will, I pray, next Sunday in Jesus' name. And amen. All right, Jay, go ahead and get us to the next slide. The next slide will just show you the text which we read just a moment ago, verses 6, 7, and 8 of 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, the Bible section here is not talking about a lesson on agriculture as such, okay? It says, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly, he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. God is using an illustration from the world of agriculture to teach us about giving. This is not a lesson on farming. I'm not against helping people, and I'm sure Paul wasn't either. A lot of missionary groups, their sole purpose of mission work is to help people irrigate and grow crops. Nothing wrong with that, but Bible missions is going somewhere, teaching somebody how to be saved, getting them baptized, and organizing them into a local church. And Paul here, it can be used about mission giving. It can be used in its context. If you were here last Sunday, this chapter is talking about an offering for poor Jewish saints who were living in Jerusalem. They were going without the common necessities of life, and so Paul is asking the Corinthian church to contribute to their physical material needs, and he reminds them an illustration from agriculure. If a guy goes out and he plants bountifully, he's going to reap bountifully. If he plants or sows sparingly, he's going to reap sparingly. Now, believe it or not, contrary to what the average common mindset of the common Christian is, there are some people in God's family who have learned this thing of giving and being blessed because you give. It's not a drudgery. It's actually a blessed thing, okay? And so Paul is using a lesson from the world of agriculture to teach us some principles about giving. Now, go to the next slide, Brother Jay, if you would. The next step. This is a wonderful time in the history and life of this church. I'm going to look this way and look this way a little bit, go back and forth. This is a wonderful time, folks. You say, man, it's an expensive time. I wish we didn't have to have this. Well, there's one way to avoid having things like this, and that is just let the church die. Okay? Now, as long as the cause of Christ in this church is alive, it's going to cost money. Well, that's what you understand that, okay? This is not a burden. There are people who go to churches, and they go to that same church for years and years and years and years and years and years, and maybe because of where they're located, or because they lack vision. They never build. They never have the need to build. Personally, it would be a lot less, work and labor and mental work if we didn't have to go into a building program, but I'll swap that for the joys of God blessing our church with growth. Amen. I'll swap that in a heartbeat, okay? And, I went through this. We all did before, 5, 6, 7 years ago, and, probably some of this gray on the head came from that first building project. I'm just hoping this time it stays in place. Amen. And thanks to some ladies around here, I've seen a picture of what I could look like with no hair. Amen. You remember that thing they did at Christmas for the craft sale? Remember that thing they did? But anyway, I just soon keep it. So it's a wonderful time in the life of our church. Now listen very carefully. Giving can be a source of joy. Giving can be. We're still there? Don't go ahead of me now. Giving can be a source of joy. Okay? It can be a matter of joy. Acts 20:35, you don't have to turn to it because it's there on the screen. Paul said this, remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want you to see what Paul didn't say. Paul didn't say that it wasn't blessed to receive. It is fun to receive. It is fun to be on the receiving end of people's goodness. I don't think when they hand you a Christmas gift this Christmas day, you're going to say, oh, shucks, I wish you hadn't done that. Okay? You'll be glad to get it. All right? So, you know, there's a certain matter or a presence of joy in receiving, being on the receiving end. And by the way, a lot of people in this church, myself included, have been on the receiving end of people's kindness. Yeah, I mean that. Somebody bought this tie for me. I don't know who it was. It might have been one of the kids. It might have been somebody bought these shoes for me. I appreciate it. That's kindness. Okay? There's a certain joy in being on the receiving end of somebody. By the way, there's a certain humbling to be on the receiving end of people's kindness. That's not what Paul said. Paul did not say it was not fun to receive. He said it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. The greater blessing is in the giving. Isn't that true, parents? You know, on Christmas Day when you gather with your family, you know, what's Christmas Day to a parent? Christmas Day to a parent is not, you know, anxiously anticipating what are the kids going to give me. That's not what Christmas Day is about. What Christmas Day is about is throughout the year you've heard little things and picked up on little things and you've thought of little things and you purchased it and wrapped it, and if they haven't been too snoopy, they're going to open something on Christmas morning that they have no idea what it is. And when they open the package, and parents say amen, isn't that the anticipation of Christmas Day? Amen. It's the joy of giving. It's the blessing of being able to share with your children, with your loved ones, and I'm sure for you kids, it's the joy of giving to your parents. So the joy, the greater joy, the greater blessing is in the giving. It's fun to receive. Everybody has to admit that. But the greater joy is in giving. Jesus Christ said that. We're not told that he said that in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. But Paul said there was a time on earth when Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. I'll tell you something. When it came from the mouth of Jesus Christ, you can put her down, friend. That's what it is. Amen. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the opportunity for this project, and I mean this with all my heart, the opportunity for this project to be a source of joy, not a burden. What a source of joy. The opportunity for that is before you and me. But if it's going to be a source of joy, we have to approach it with the right attitude, the right mindset. If we approach it with the wrong attitude, the wrong mindset, it will be a source of drudgery. And the truth of the matter is, we must approach it from the spiritual aspect. Folks, giving is not natural to our old nature. Giving is not natural to our flesh. You want to see what's natural to flesh? You want to see what we're born with? Go just observe the nursery. See the little kid playing with 15 toys. And he looks, I always use boys. So watch her play with 15 toys and then have her see the little poor boy over here who's got one rubber duck, and she leaves 15 toys. She walks over, pushes him down, grabs the duck and says, mine. Okay, 15 toys wasn't enough. Okay, that's what we're born with. That's the nature we're born with. That's part of that song, Adam's likeness now efface. Hark the herald angels sing. It's not just about angels. Part of that nature of selfishness and getting is what the Spirit of God tries to eradicate from us. Stamp thine image in us. Giving is not a matter of the flesh. Giving is a matter of the Spirit. It's spiritual nature, in nature. And you have to approach it that way. Okay, Brother Jay, let's go to the next slide. Let me give you several thoughts to think about as far as approaching this thing with a spiritual mentality or spiritual attitude. Number one, if we ever have the attitude of protecting what we have instead of seeking more of what God has for us, then we are through. I'm talking about as a church. We're finished. Now, folks, look, there is a comfort zone in sitting still.
Tell me we're not in that comfort zone right now. We are $80,000 plus what we own the house. We're about, you know, if we paid off $145,000 would pay off every debt, and $80,000 left on what we built here, and we would be debt $80,000 left on the tenant, and we're clipping that thing down at the tune of $7,200 a month. Now tell me there's not a comfort zone there. Is there not a comfort zone there? And the thing is, you know, it'd be easy to be in that comfort zone and without the weight of a building project on us, and the old nature is what says, hey, this is nice. This is comfortable. I can go to sleep at night. I don't fret and worry over the bills as the pastor of the church. And my flesh enjoys that. But that's not the way we have to approach the ministry. We have to approach the ministry from the aspect of what does God have for us? What does God want for us? What does God want for Faith Baptist Church? What is God's will for Faith Baptist? Not what is comfortable for Terry Angel. Not what is comfortable for the staff. Not what is comfortable for the people of Faith Baptist Church. What is God's will for this church? What does God have for us? What does God want for us? And folks, sometimes God puts us in situations that are a little less than comfortable. Yeah. You know, God is very good at working in troubled waters. You remember that story of the man beside the pool at Bethesda? It was not the calm, placid waters never healed anybody. It wasn't until the angel came from heaven and troubled the waters that the first person that put his hand or foot in there was healed. You see, God uses troubling circumstances sometimes. Yeah, our flesh doesn't like that. But we can't approach it with what's a comfort zone for us. Where are we comfortable? We have to approach it from what does God want? I think we've been slow. I think we've been cautious. I think we needed this building maybe 2 years ago. We're to the point now where it's got to happen. The space is done, okay? It can't be reused again. So what does God have for us? Okay, we got to approach it with that mindset. Next mindset is this right here. Next, the danger of success is that we will become satisfied with our achievements rather than challenged by our commission. Now, let that sink in for just a minute. You know, and God knows I don't want to say anything displeasing to the Lord. I don't want to even come to the brink of self, of fleshly pride. But God has helped us enjoy a measure of success at Faith Baptist Church. And I say that, God, you're listening to every word I'm saying this morning from the depths of my heart. I say that humbly. I don't want God to go, whoops. There's no flesh or glory in His presence. We ever get to the place where it's, that's it, we're done. We've enjoyed a measure of success. I mean, not all. We've failed in some areas. But the danger of success, I'm telling you truth. The truth, folks, is failure is almost better for us than success. Failure keeps us clawing. Failure keeps us trying. Failure keeps us reaching forth. Success makes us go. We cannot be satisfied that, you know, do you remember when we came to this project? Remember how big it looked? 1.3 million. It was big. We looked at it and we swallowed deep and everything, but God helped us. It's been a wonderful 11 years since we first started giving toward it. God has helped us. We cannot rest on the laurels of our success. We must stay challenged by our commission. Our commission is not to build an auditorium and then sit back and say, look what we did. Our commission is to get the gospel to every creature. Our commission is threefold. It is teach people how to be saved, baptize them, and then after you baptize them, teach them how to live for Christ. Isn't it? It's gotten awful quiet in here, but that the two guys behind me. Huh? Are you guys with us? This can't be three and no more. Are you guys with us on this? That's our commission, folks. We don't have a commission to put up a couple new buildings and then sit back and say, look what we've done. We've got a lot of work to do right now. I mean, a lot of work to do. We've got people to teach. We've got people that still need to be saved all around us. We've got folks who need to be baptized. All of us need to be taught again and again and again and again and again from God's Word. This thing is an ongoing commission. It's an ongoing challenge to say, when are we done? When Jesus comes, we're done. Okay? This is what challenges me. It is not the fact that we've got this thing paid off. Just about there. I mean, it challenges me that we've still got work to do. It challenges me that we've got little kids crammed in classrooms sitting on top of each other. It challenges me that we don't have some comfortable classrooms for our adult Bible classes. It challenges me that in our day school, the kids are in old classrooms, in nasty old classrooms in some cases, decorated up by teachers who are doing their best with what means we have. That challenges me. I want a nice environment for the adults, the children that are already here, and for the ones we will reach to be taught God's Word. Amen. Are you listening this morning, huh? That's what it's all about. That's the way we got to approach it with that mindset. Next slide, please, Brother Jason. Watch my time here. Now, time here. We got to approach it with those two mindsets. Here's another mindset you have to approach it with. Giving is more than one-sided. Giving is more than one-sided. Does giving do something for the treasury of the church? Sure it does. We do not have $10,000 to $11,000 a month sitting around right now to make a payment. We don't have that. We got some of that, but we don't have all of it. So when we give to a building, yes, I'm not going to be dumb. Giving does something for the treasury of the church. It helps it pay its bills and so forth, okay? But it's more than that. Giving is not just what it does for the church corporately, but giving does something for the individual who gives. The individual who gives gets a blessing. The individual who gives gets a joy. It is a double-sided matter. Giving does something for the person who puts the money in the plate. When we're asked to give, we have to approach it and realize that giving is more than just beneficial to the church. It benefits me. You say, how does it benefit me? Just one way. It helps keep my heart in my church. Matthew 6:21, Jesus said, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He did not say your treasure follows your heart. He said your heart follows your treasure. I don't think anybody would deny that there are boys and girls growing up in this world who are not receiving the love, the attention, the care, the teaching, the emotional needs. They're not receiving those things in the home that they're growing up in. I think that's obvious to everybody. Do you know why? Because there's a dad and a mom somewhere who are not investing in those kids. When you invest, I mean your time and your money and your abilities in your children, your hearts will follow. You won't have any trouble doing that. People who don't, look at people who say, well, I love my kids and never invest any time, talent, or treasure in their kids. They don't love their kids. No, sir. Because when I invest in my kids, time, treasure, money, abilities that God has given me to maybe have fun with them, when I invest those things in my kid, the Bible says that my heart follows my investment. Tell me that if you came into some money and you went to some guy, some broker, and you said, look, I have some money, I'd like to invest in some company stock. And he sits down and gets on his computer, he looks through and he says, you know what, here is a company right here I can recommend to you. Company, da-da-da-da-da. You say, I never heard of that. So let me tell you a little bit about it. So he explains the company to you, their product, their administrative setup and everything. And he says, I would recommend you invest the money in this company's stock. Let me ask you a question. You're going to get interested in that company from that time forward? Sure you are. Why? Because your money's there. Before your money got invested in that company, you didn't have any idea who that company was. You didn't even care. But when all of a sudden you're investing in the stock in that company, you're going to probably be checking the papers very often, if not every day. How is that company doing? Going to the internet, Googling up, putting that company's name in, finding what all you can about them. Why are you all of a sudden interested in this company you never heard of before? Because your money's going there. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said your heart follows your treasure. Now, one of the benefits of giving to a building fund is that I'll keep my heart centered in Faith Baptist Church. And if you're a member here, that's where your heart should stay centered as far as church goes. It should stay centered in Faith Baptist Church. Look, I appreciate what Northwest Memorial Baptist Church is doing. I love those folks. They're a sister church, but my heart is not there. My heart is here. Part of the reason my heart is here is because my money's here. I love Brother Woodward, First Baptist Church in Dwight, and we help them from time to time with football camp and all that. But my heart's not over in Dwight. My heart's in Bourbonnais. Part of the reason my heart's here is because my money is here. So that's what Jesus said, not Terry Angel, not some Baptist board. Jesus said, where your treasure is, present tense, current, right now, there will your heart be also. So your heart follows your investment. That's one of the blessings of giving to a building fund. Your heart just becomes more involved and committed to Faith Baptist Church. Next slide, please, Brother Jay. Now, here, the key to keeping it spiritual is to purpose in your heart what to give. Purpose giving. Verse number 7, the text that we read just a moment ago, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. That is a key phrase. So let him give. For God loveth, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. If I am going to keep this matter spiritual, it's got to be a matter of spiritual purpose. I've got to understand all these things, that, man, my heart will be there, that these other things we've talked about this morning, I've got to be challenged by my commission, not satisfied with our achievements. It might be getting out of a comfort zone, but it's not what I want. It's what God wants. Okay, I'm ready to take my step now to commit to this building fund. I want it to stay spiritual. I don't want to become emotionally or fleshly involved in this thing. I want it to be of God. The way to get that done is purpose giving, purposing in your heart. Most Americans give based on emotion. We hear something, it moves us, and we say, boy, oh boy, oh boy, that blesses me. And then when you leave and go and get out in your car, you despise. You wonder, why in the world did I do that? That's emotional giving. I'm going to be very honest with you. You know, some missionaries come through here, and they have personalities that are winsome, that are amiable. And when they give their presentation, you know, the offering is usually very generous. And then we have some missionaries come through like we did not too long ago. Same young man was here 12 years ago. His personality is just dry. I'm excited about my dad. I'm excited about this. I'm excited about that. There's nothing winsome there. You pass the plates, you'd be surprised. Comparison. You know what that is? It doesn't mean that that boy is any less effective. In fact, he may be more effective than the winsome personality guy. He grew up on the mission field. He was a missionary's kid. He knows the language better than he knows English. And he's doing a whale of a job. But his personality is a little dry. Why do we not give to him like we give to the other guy? We'll tell you why. Part of it's we give emotionally. We give emotionally. No offense. I've seen Filipino people come through here. People from minority countries. Give a tear-jerking emotional story. The money just... explodes it. Dumps it. Because we're moved. Let me tell you something. We can't afford that kind of giving when it comes to a building commitment. You say, but next Sunday we're going to make the commitment. We're going to... Yeah, and about March, it ain't going to be any fun. And then July, it's going to be less fun. So I can't make a commitment based on what feels good. I can't make a commitment based on some emotional excitement. Oh boy, this is going to be great. Yes, sir. I have to purpose in my heart before God. This is what He wants me to give.
and I'm going to do it. And after God purposes it in my heart, folks, it's there as a matter of purpose, not emotion. How many things do we do in life out of emotion, and it lasts for such a short time? Are you listening to what I'm saying this morning? We're probably not going to pay for this thing in 5 years. So we can't have an emotional commitment that lasts for 20 weeks and then dies out. We need a commitment that is purposed before God. And I'm going to tell you something. Some of you have been there, done this. You understand what he's saying here. When you purpose before God, then it's not mad giving. It's not, I'm sick of hearing about the building, take it. Well, that's a blessing. And it's not sad giving. You won't come to April and May and approach the offering with, and believe me, when you don't purpose and you just react emotionally, that's what happens. Are you getting this morning? It's when you purpose and you pray and you say, God, here's what I have. Yes, I'm going to need it, but I know the church has a need, and we'll talk about that tonight a little bit out of Haggai. Lord, I want to be a part of this thing. You've got to lead me. You've got to lead me. And you've got to help me know what I can give, not just based on the fun. I don't want to give it grudgingly. I don't want to give it of necessity like I just have. I want to give it willingly, purposed in my heart. And when you give it like that, it's not sad giving or mad giving, it's glad giving. I'm going to tell you something. When you drop it in angry, God takes no pleasure in it. But when you act like you're departing with your best friend, God takes no pleasure in it. But when the plate goes by and you know you purposed in your heart before God, and the plate goes by and you put it in, there's that, man, that's a blessing. And God says, I like that. I like that. Not mad giving, not sad giving, but glad giving. Let's go to the next slide, Brother Jay. I want to get done here this morning. Now, there's two extremes found in the Bible when it comes to giving. You got the widow's mite in Mark chapter 12. I don't have time to go into all that this morning. You got David's commitment in 1 Chronicles 29. David wanted to build the temple. Man, let's build a temple for God. Nathan said, you can't build it, David. You've shed too much blood. But guess what? God's going to let your son build it. David said, hallelujah, that's wonderful. Let him have the building program. Amen. And so you know what David did? Instead of sucking his thumb and pouting, he said, that's great. My son's going to build it. I'm going to help. And out of his own personal income, David gave a massive gift. He gave a large gift. You can read it in those passages right there. The widow's mite, she came into the treasury, and without even lifting her eyes toward heaven, she just dropped a couple of coins in the brass instrument. And Jesus called all those people over, all his disciples over, and did you see that gift? Oh, yeah, we saw those guys give that big much. No, you missed it. Did you see the widow's gift? She gave two mites, just a few pennies. Did you know what Jesus said? Jesus said she gave the greatest gift. Because listen, folks, I may not have time to develop this all I'd like to this morning, but listen carefully. God does not judge by the quantity, the amount that we put in the plate. God judges the percentage. He judges proportionately. Listen, I know this makes you uncomfortable, but listen. And nothing makes a Baptist crowd more uncomfortable than money. Nothing makes you more happy than food. Nothing makes you more uncomfortable than money. That's Baptist people, okay? Jesus knew who gave. He knew how much they gave. But he knew something, a third thing, that nobody else can know but him. He knows how much is left. So what might look like a big gift, but compared to the stocks and the bonds and the CDs and the savings account, God goes, you know what, comparatively, are you with me this morning? There are two extremes. Just like I said last week in church,
You had the example of those poor Macedonian churches who gave out of their deep poverty. And you had the example of Jesus Christ who had everything. Both gave. Both gave. This chart right here, you start at 50 cents a week, which is maybe the widow's mite. And you go up to $300 a week, which might equal David's commitment nowadays. I have no idea how that all balances out. But biblical sacrifice is somewhere on this line for you. Biblical sacrifice is somewhere on this line for me, a weekly amount. Now, you find your place not by emotion. Find your place by purpose. By purpose. That's what scares me. If you don't listen, if you don't take the challenge to get with God, find out what He wants you to do, then you are risking an emotional response to this thing that will not be a help. It may be something that you can't do, or it may be far less than what you can do. Didn't get many amens there, but that's the truth. We've got to get with God in purpose. Or where do you want me on this line right here? Find your place by purpose. Next slide, please, Brother Jay. Now, for those with this, I'm not going to be alone. For those with mid-range incomes, it is difficult to give a large lump sum of money in one offering. You know, what if we said, folks, let's everybody give $3,600. Everybody give $2,600. Well, you know, not a lot of people could take their check and write out a check for $2,600. Some could, some couldn't. What some can do in a weekly gift, they can't do with a lump sum. $50 a week, $40 a week, $30 a week, those are the lump sum figures over 52 weeks. It adds up little by little by little by little. You say, well, that's not, you know, what's so important about that? That's biblical. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16, let every one of you lay by himself in store. Week after week after week after week, Paul said, when you come together for your Sunday services, bring a little bit of what you're going to give and put it, lay by in store. That's a biblical way to do it. A little bit every week adds up to a great sum. Okay, Brother Jay? Now, this is what's exciting to me. Because we have about 115 to 120 giving units here in the church. These are people that give once a month, twice a month, every week, regularly, and maybe even some that give semi-regularly. I don't know the names. I don't know the amounts. This is what our financial secretary comes up with. About 115 to 120 giving units. I bumped it down to 100. Let's just take out 15 or 20 and let's go to 100. Okay? And here are giving units, okay? If two of those 100 giving units give $100 a week, that's a weekly total of $200. Now you follow that chart all the way down. 3 at 75, 3 at 60, 5 at 50, 8 at 40, 8 at 35, 10 at 30. You see where the bulk of the money is? Okay? The bulk of the money is in that 5 to 50, so forth, down all the way down to 13 at 20 and so forth. That's the bulk of the money coming from that crowd right there. But look, that's not taxing on anybody. Everybody can be on this chart. At the very bottom, you've got those that could give a dollar a week. You have five people that give a dollar a week, that's $5 a week. Now, if the 100 giving units gets divided up in that fashion or something similar, look at the total amount per week. $2,500 per week. That's $10,000 a month. When you multiply that times 4.3, that's $10,750 every month for a building payment on top of what we're already doing. And that's not bad. You say $100 a week, who'll do that? Don't fool yourself. That's been done in the past. I'd be surprised if it's not done again. You say, what? Yeah, there are people who are blessed and they've learned this thing of giving and they love their church and they love the Lord and they want to participate and it's not an emotional response that dies out in 16 weeks. It's a purpose matter and they see it through until it's done. There's a place for us. There's a place for me on that chart. There's a place for you on that chart. $2,500 a week. That builds that building, folks. That builds that building. Okay? Next slide, please. Also leaves us a little extra to prepay on the principal. And that's the best investment we can make as a church. Prepay on the principal. 2 Corinthians 9:8. You read it just a moment ago. And God is able. Well, we like that, don't we? God is able. Yes, sir, God is able. Is He? Yeah. The Bible says God is able, and we rejoice in that truth. But let me ask you a question. In this verse, what exactly does this verse say God is able to do? Next slide. God is able does not mean that He will drop money out of the sky. This verse, now, can He do that? Sure He could. God could make the money and float it down right here to Bourbonnais. But that's not what that verse says. God is able means that He will enable us by His grace to be unselfish and enjoy the opportunity to give. You say, I don't see any way that I can participate in this thing and enjoy it. God is able to help you. God is able. Do you believe God is? We want to shout and scream. We believe. We like to sing the song, He is able. In this verse, He is able. He's able to change me from being an old skinflint to being somebody who says, this is wonderful. I'm glad I could do this. He's able. Some of us got saved out of a rough background. Some people in this room, you know, used to be on drugs. God's grace was able to get you off drugs. Amen? You know, I'd say amen. You know, amen, amen. You know, I'm the one. I'm the guy. Smoke cocaine every day. Amen. There are folks who, when they got saved, they had a terrible liquor problem. God's grace was able to change you. And God's grace is able to transform a tightwad. It's the same grace. We want to shout over the drunk becoming sober and the loose, seductive lady becoming pure. But when it comes to me being less of a type, well, I don't know about that. Come on now, church. Amen. Yeah, the truth of the matter is, alcoholism doesn't have us. And seduction doesn't have us. But materialism does. So that's what bothers us. Man. God is able. God is able to change me. Now what He's able to do is empower us to take care of this project. Next slide, please, Brother Jason. God's enabling grace. Go ahead, punch it again. Oh, right there. When God receives an envelope, we put them in the plate just a little while ago this morning. Brother, somebody got an envelope right in front of you, Brother Tom. You know, when God receives an envelope right here, comes into the offering plate on Sunday. Hopefully you'll need that by sometime today. Amen. Amen. God receives an envelope. You know, and this is how they come in. They come in with cash. They come in with checks. They come in this way. God receives that. You know, the treasurer, God, or God, you know, just God Himself reaches in and the money goes to the ministry of the church to pay the bills, the salaries, fund the ministry, so forth, so on. But that's not all that happens with an envelope. But Jason, God reaches back in and He gets the honor and the glory and the love and the sincerity and the sacrifice. Isn't that what He deserves? Sure He does. I want to glorify God. Good. I hope you do. I do too. And when we can put this into plate, some of you, but three or four of you haven't smiled the whole morning. I feel sorry for you. You are living in misery just because of the anticipation of this thing. You ain't even here yet, but you're anticipating. But when you can put that in the plate and say, man, amen. And God can reach in there and say, let's take care of that building project. And then, by the way, I saw how you gave that. I'm going to keep that for me. Whew. That's what we want. We want God to get the glory. Our next step. That's our next step as a church. You men, we talked about it at the beginning of this year. At the financial meeting, y'all said, let's do something. You know what? I plead overly caution. I confess, moving slow. I know that's aggravated some of you, and I appreciate that. But it's time. Now, tell you what, when I first saw this coming and thought, you know, Christmas season, what a horrible time to be talking about giving to the building. No. And then the Spirit of God said, no, what better time to be talking about giving to the building? In light of God's gift to us, we could stand a little bit about giving back to Him. Amen, church? That's our next step. Next Sunday, we're going to take the commitments. I beg you, please. And I'm going to tell you something. I don't want people just to... I don't try to prime the pump. And everybody says, What do you think? I don't know. I know it's God's will. I believe it's God's time. I hope you're on board with it. We haven't had when I asked you last week how many of you would pray about it, the response was overwhelming. So I hope you have. We've got 7 more days. Pray about it. Okay? It's our next step. Where does God want me on purpose? Bow our heads and close our eyes together. Thank you for listening this morning. Now, my only hesitation about doing something like this on Sunday morning is that I don't really deal with salvation, eternity, matters of the Christian life other than this one matter of giving. But the Spirit of God can work in hearts in unusual ways. I wonder who's here this morning to say, Pastor, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I go to heaven. I've got that nailed down. Would you raise your hand, please, if you could say that today in all honesty? Thank you. Take your hands down. So somebody would say, Pastor, I couldn't say that, so I didn't raise my hand. It does concern me when I think of my eternal destiny. Please pray for me. I'm not sure about where I'll spend eternity. Would you please raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? Let me pray for you. God bless you. I appreciate your honesty. Just ask you to have an open heart to the Lord and His Spirit. The Spirit of God begins to trouble your heart about it, and make you a little bit anxious. It doesn't require some handwritten note in the sky. It's just a simple matter of faith. God said, come to Jesus. All that come to Him will not be turned away. I just beg you to get that nailed down before too late. So somebody here today, Pastor Angel, I've been saved but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. And therefore, the Lord of believers' baptism, pray for me. Anybody like that here this morning? Not been baptized. Side to side, front to back. Christian people. Faith Baptist Church people. This is not for those visiting the Ballards or members out at Grace Baptist. They have their own needs. And other families here visiting this morning who are not members of our church, but those of you who are members and those who come here often, regular. Our next step of faith is a commitment. That's our next step. I just ask you to pray about it. On purpose. Purpose. Not an emotional response that dies out in 13 weeks. A purpose is ongoing. God can bless you. I'm anticipating a great day next Sunday. May the Lord make it happen. His grace is able to do it. We just got to get in connection with His grace. No trick question, Pastor. I've been praying about it. We'll keep praying about it. Pastor, would you corporately, as you corporately pray for the church in this decision, just remember me, I'm one of those that's still thinking and praying and purposing. Pray for, when you pray corporately for God to bless the church, and if you can think of it, God brings you to my mind, think of me.
Would you raise your hand this morning? Would you do that? God bless you. Take your hand down. Dear Father, I love you. I thank you for this church, for these people. Thank you, Lord, for their responsiveness to this need. I pray that we'll see it to victory next Sunday. I pray that you'll please work on our hearts, Lord, that every person, those who are fairly settled on what they're going to do, those who are still purposing, God, I pray that even through next Saturday, we'll be in touch with you and open and available and ready for you to do a work in our hearts. Oh, God, transform us, please. Not just in the area of giving, but in every area. I'm so glad we sang that song this morning. Adam's likeness now efface, erase it, God. That old natural selfish man that we're born being. Transform us, please, into the image of Christ in every way. I thank you for it. Bless these that are not saved. Lord, struggling with their eternal destiny. God, please, draw them to Jesus Christ. His name I ask you. Let's stand together. Please, hands are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, please. Song of invitation. If you want to come this morning, you step out now. It's the time to do it. As we wait. Come this morning, Lord, lay something on your heart to pray about it. Step out and come this way. All right, look this way just for a moment if you will.